I want to put the question to you about whether it makes me a hipster or not. I am picking the Detroit Lions to win the wild card this year in the NFC, to be one of the two wild card teams. I realize it looks like it's jumping on a bandwagon because a lot of people are touting Detroit, and they're real rags to riches story here with this recent 0-16 with Rod Marinelli there. But I do believe, especially if Matt Stafford stays upright for the year, which is the $64,000 question, but you'll look at that offense, you'll look at the interior of that defense there. Show me anything in the recent history of the league that stacks up to Fairley and Sue. Nick Fairley, by the way, who could make a fair amount of money on the side working a Biz Markie impersonation at nightclubs all around the Motown area. But tell me anything that would stack up to the interior of that line. I am drinking the Kool-Aid for the Detroit Lions here. Am I a hipster? Am I wrong? Am I whatever?
Well, I'll tell you what. You'll be drinking your Kool-Aid at the Beachland Ballroom this year, buddy, okay? Because the Detroit Lions are my number one most overrated team heading into 2011.
Really?
Yes. There's a couple things working. Now, you know me. I'm not the kind of football fan that can tell you, you know, who's third on the depth chart at middle linebacker.
Okay.
I look at history. I look at statistics. I look at situations. Okay?
All right.
Let's take a look at a few things with the precious Detroit Lions that everyone seems to love so much. Now, I'm rooting for them. Now, it's not. I'm not one of these people who, you know, if they start doing well, will just root against them so I can be right. I mean,
okay.
it'd be a great story. Like you mentioned, we're only, what, two seasons removed from 0-16?
Yeah.
Okay. Last year, after another Thanksgiving loss, and trust me, those in the betting community are well aware of the Detroit Lions, how they've ruined many Thanksgiving dinners for us in the past, when everything looks so good in the first half, and you know, you're eating those hors d'oeuvres, oh, this is going to be great, and then you're just like, you have no appetite after they blow a double-digit lead in the second half.
Disclaimer, this information for educational purposes only.
Oh, yes, pardon me. Well, they lost to, I believe it was New England last year, okay? They
yes.
were 2-10 after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Okay? So you're talking about a team that was just 2-10 at one point last
right.
year, okay? That's bringing back essentially the same nucleus.
Didn't they lose every game by like half a point, though?
Hold on a second, okay? They did finish strong. That's obviously what
okay.
a lot of people are pointing. They were 6-10. They won their final four games. Let's analyze those final four games, okay? Two of those games were against Miami and Minnesota, who had quit
okay.
by that point in the season. So, yeah. They should have won those games.
As a Fish fan, I'll give you that.
One of them was against Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers got injured on the first series or second series.
Okay.
And they did nothing after that. It was like a 9-3 win. And the other one was against Tampa Bay where they were the beneficiary of an extremely questionable call by the officials. They should
okay.
have lost that game. So really, those four wins down the stretch were not all that great, okay?
Okay.
And, again, last time they went 4-0 in a preseason, okay, they now, I
long
can't remember.
Time, yeah.
Yeah, they just did it. They went 0-16
right.
in the regular season.
That's
I mean,
right.
This is a team that would go on then to lose like 40-something of their neck, like 42 of 44 games
yeah.
after that, okay? This is not a, to me, it would be a great story, but you're asking too much. Making a huge leap in the NFL does not really happen. This is a team. There's an interesting study done, and I talk about statistics a lot,
okay.
that when a team improves from year to year by like 3 or 4 net wins,
mm-hmm.
like say, I'm saying just to clarify, just to, you know, I'm sure most people get it, but just to, we're all on the same page. Say a team is 2-14 one year, and then they go 8-8 the next year.
Mm-hmm.
The tendency by the public is, oh, they're going to keep improving. History says that's not the case. Teams, on average, that do that improve by like 5, especially when it's like 5 or 6 net wins, and
mm-hmm.
we'll get into this with teams like Tampa Bay and St. Louis later on. When teams, they do not improve the next year. So Detroit went from 2 to 6 wins.
So for me to say 6 to 9, history says they're a lot more likely to regress?
No, if it's more than 3. If
okay.
it's more, 3 is, if you improve by 4 net wins or more,
all right.
chances are, you, and it works the same way in reverse, too, with the losses. We'll talk about that with teams like Cincinnati, too.
Well, I'm saying, no, I think they go from 6 to 9. Is 6 to 9 within that historical framework of what you're talking about?
Well, no, but I'm saying, no, you're
okay.
missing. They went from 2 to 6, okay?
So only
so
4,
history,
okay.
So history says if you improve by 4 games from the previous season,
yeah.
you will not improve again the next year. So yeah, so what you're saying from 6
yeah.
to 9, that would go against a lot of history.
It would, okay.
So I'm saying this to me.
Okay.
Now, they're good enough. Believe it or not, what I saw in the preseason, they look pretty good. They could improve by a game. I do not see them finishing better than 7-9. I've got them at 6-10 and in last place in an NFC North, which is tough, but will probably only send one team to the playoffs.
Well, we were talking about this off air. I know that you think a lot more of Minnesota than I do. I don't think either one of us thinks a whole lot of Chicago. They were a very, very fortunate team last year. And again, that was when they were on the verge of making the Super Bowl, I looked at them and I said, okay, the front 7 is definitely good. It's definitely well above average. Point me to anything else on this team that really blows you away. That is not a team, typical team that looked to be on the verge of the Super Bowl.
No, it wasn't. And I never bought them the entire way. I mean, it was one of those things. I played Green Bay huge in the NFC. Once again, entertainment purposes only. I played Green Bay huge in that NFC Championship game for the sole reason that it got to where I'm like, I don't understand how this team is in the position, referring to Chicago,
right,
is in the position where they're hosting the NFC Championship game. If you look back, you got to be a real stat nerd to look up this stuff. They were historically great last year in statistics like net punt yards. Their special team, people talk about, how are the Bears good? It was not Mike Martz's offense.
Right.
Jay Cutler, I'm not very big on him, and he doesn't have a lot of weapons. But their defense is good, and their defense will probably be good again this year. But their special teams last year, and it's not like in the Josh Cribbs kind of way where, a lot of these big returns. It was just their kick coverage, their punt coverage was phenomenal. They had, I believe, who's their punter? Maynard?
Yeah.
Is that their punter? It was phenomenal last year. And those kind of statistics are very, again, regression of the mean statistics. I love them.
Yes.
Are very difficult to sustain. The Bears, I don't like them. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. Certainly there's a rule that says there's usually about a 50% change from year to year in playoff teams. And one of the first things I do is, okay, who made the playoffs last year that I really just don't like and don't see making it this year? Chicago is one of those teams that falls in that group. I've got them at 9-7, missing the playoffs. They could be worse. I think 9-7 would definitely be a best case for them. And you talk about Minnesota, I'm a little higher on them than I think that most people. 2 years removed from being in the NFC title game, Brett Favre blew up in their face last year, as I predicted it would.
Mm-hmm.
But the defense Leslie Frazier's got to get that defense going in the right direction, because that was the real reason they stunk last year defense.
When both Williamses in the middle were in their prime, it was a different story. One of them, and I can't remember off the top of my head, one of them is aging rapidly, and that really takes it, that makes it a lot more difficult. I think it's Pat Williams, it's the older one.
Yeah, but I see Minnesota at 7-9. Believe it or not, I think Minnesota underrated again, and they had a huge drop in wins previous year.
Even with McNabb and a brand new offense?
Yes, I do. They've got Adrian Peterson to really shoulder the load. I'm telling you, if things go their way, Minnesota 7-9, I mean, keep in mind last year is what I would call a worst case scenario for Minnesota. Okay. I find it difficult for Minnesota. And McNabb, to me, is an upgrade from what they had last year at the quarterback position. They got rid of the egomaniac.
They got rid of Sidney Rice, not through their own doing, but he left them. They don't have much in the way of weapons.
Well, again, Adrian Peterson. I know it's a quarterback league now. It's
Aaron Mishu, last year's biggest hipster pick.
It's a quarterback league. It's a passing league now. But to me, I cannot see Minnesota being worse than last year. It's very difficult for me. You talk about, again, I talked about the net wins thing. Minnesota's a team that last year saw its net wins plummet. I think they went from 12-6, I want to say. That's a huge drop. So I don't see them dropping again. I say this is the way I've got it. I've got Chicago 9-7, Minnesota 7-9, Detroit 6-10, and on top, of course, the one team that you and I both really, really like. And it's kind of funny that I think people who really look at these things are all about this team, though you haven't heard a lot about them, which makes me feel good about it. Green Bay, I really think not only are they going to repeat as Super Bowl champions, I think they're going to be 13-3, 14-2.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, there's a reflexiveness all the time. Oh, they won't repeat. They won't repeat because we haven't seen a lot of repeat stuff. We haven't seen anything since the Patriots back in the Super Bowl in the winter of 2005 when we had a repeat. But that's reflexiveness that's for no good reason, because this is a team that won the Super Bowl with significant parts on the IR. JerMichael Finley and Ryan Grant, they didn't have much of an impressive running game, and they beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl. So I'd like to know where people get off writing them off. I understand Philadelphia is the flavor of the moment. Atlanta, I've been talking them up huge for years. But Green Bay seems to be third on the pecking order when people are talking about the NFC, and I can't understand that for the life of me. To be the man, you got to beat the man.
Yeah, most starts lost to injury, 15 people on IR, which also tops league, and they still won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Does anyone doubt hats off to Ted Thompson.
Right.
I said it. People mock. I mean, I was never a huge Brett Favre fan, in full disclosure, so I'm a little biased here. I always thought he's a little overhyped. I thought that he was the beneficiary of some preferential media treatment, quite frankly. You know, Ocho Cinco does a river dance.
John Madden.
Yeah. Ocho Cinco does a river dance. It's a 15-yard penalty. Brett Favre runs around. Oh, he'd play the game for free. I don't like Brett Favre. But Ted Thompson, what this man did, now 4 years ago, was one of the greatest moves in the history of sports business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because think about it. Just ask a Brian Griese or a Jay Fiedler. what it's like to replace a legend. It's hard. The fan base doesn't like you. Okay, they're very resistant to warm up to you. The way Thompson did it, and Favre, you know, although he knowingly didn't do it, he made it easier for Rodgers, kind of his nasty exit there. The fans did embrace Rodgers, and it was a tough first year, although they had, if you look back, record close losses.
Mm-hmm.
So they made the big jump in year two, and then last year I picked them to win the Super Bowl, and they did. So to me, they're going to be even better this year. So if they won the Super Bowl, they're going to be better. Why not pick them to repeat?
You're giving credit to Ted Thompson, and in your litany of things there, you didn't even mention the one thing. He committed to a guy who had hanging over him the curse of Tedford. Let us not forget.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Yeah,
Jeff Tedford had never had a successful pro quarterback until Aaron Rodgers, at least a very successful pro quarterback. From Kyle Buller to Joey Harrington on down the line, these guys were all busts, and it took a real leap of faith to commit to Aaron Rodgers. Granted, there was no common thread between them. There was nothing to point to. Each case individually, the guy wasn't what everybody thought that he was or could be. But they still committed to a guy who had that hanging over him, you know, whether there was anything to it or not, and clearly we saw there was nothing to it.
Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers here. Only quarterback in NFL history to throw for 4,000-plus yards in his first 2 years as a starter. It would have been first three, but he, like I mentioned earlier, he was injured in that Detroit game. I believe he missed the New England game as well. Like, so he basically missed two full games
right.
last year, and it cost him 4,000 yards. So we're looking at a guy who realistically should have 3,000-4,000-yard seasons to his credit. I think certainly along with Philip Rivers, that's my short list for NFL MVP. When this team runs a no-huddle,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not a huge X's and O's guy, but I mean, I know great football when I see it. When this team runs, they're unstoppable.
Yeah.
I mean, they actually laid out we'll talk about Pittsburgh, I'm sure, at some point. Well, I'm sure you'll want to make fun of them. But,
yes.
You know, Green Bay really laid the strategy on how you beat Pittsburgh. You spread them
spread
out.
Spread them, yeah.
You spread them out. And man, when that no-huddle's going, this team can't be stopped.
Yeah, because Pittsburgh's secondary blows. And it was a thing where, I will tell you this, when we did our Super Bowl predictions on the show last year, we did it with, and I know this will bring a smile here to the face of the New York Bureau, our good friend Lloyd Carroll, one of our favorites who did the Super Bowl preview with me. I said, I want to be proven wrong, and unfortunately, I was almost proven right. I said, I think Green Bay loses because they out-psych themselves, because you're going to have Mike McCarthy. The Steelers psych out other teams and make them do stupid things. I didn't think I thought McCarthy would let his foot off the gas, and he almost did. It was a thing of, we don't want to go up four. We don't want to score 49 points in 18 minutes. That would be bad. That the Steelers psych out teams into not doing that. You got to go for the throat. You got to stay on them. Pittsburgh has a pretty weak secondary, and as you say, in their defense, there are very few teams that have the secondaries to match up with Green Bay. Particularly now this year, you have JerMichael Finley coming back in here. That is the key. You have to stay on the attack.
And by the way, it's interesting you brought up the secondary.
Yeah.
Too. The teams. Detroit. I didn't even mention that. That's the another
yeah,
reason.
Yeah, like, true.
The front seven's great. That secondary's awful. Eric Wright is being tabbed as a key addition to that group.
That's true.
Okay, I mean, that's a... So,
shades,
that
shades of Ryan Garko being a positive addition to the Giants lineup a couple years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, really. You know, so that's something that they've got to watch out for. But yeah, Green Bay, it's just incredible. I mean, to see what the way this has worked out for Aaron Rodgers, he's completely... I don't think, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, is it still going to be motivated? It's still young. I mean, come on. They're going to go... Well, this is a very good... This, to me, I haven't really entertained the idea of a repeat. I mean, I don't do it just for the sake of doing it. Like, oh, you know, no team repeats. It's just that it is hard to do, and teams do kind of suffer some losses. This team just—they didn't lose anyone really.
No, they didn't. You know, and they gained a couple more guys in the draft who they're going to be able to plug right in there. So yeah, I see the Packers coming out of the NFC and being victorious. You were ragging on me off air here about picking the Patriots in the AFC, but maybe I'm putting a little bit too much stock in the off-season additions here, but I think they are going to get the best version out of a couple of these guys here. It is interesting that Albert Haynesworth, one of his downfalls, in addition to being just a gigantic prick personally, but he got put into the 3-4 in Washington, which I said all along was a bad fit for him. I don't ever want to defend Albert Haynesworth, but he had a point about being wasted in that scheme there. New England runs a lot of 3-4, but as a lot of folks have pointed out to me, Belichick is flexible on that. Belichick is going to be, unlike Mike Shanahan, trying to get everything he can out of Albert Haynesworth at all times. So between Haynesworth and Wilfork and all the weapons there, everything that's on the other side of the ball, Ocho is a guy that I think is overrated, but look at what they did last year with Wes Welker as far and away their best wide receiver. So I look for great things out of New England this year. Loathe Belichick personally, as I've said personally. One of these summers, I'd love to see somebody go up, pour some kerosene on that trash bag he's wearing and light it on fire. But I got to give the devil his due.
It's not very nice.
No, it's not.
Well, then I wonder what you're going to say about the guy that I'm about ready to defend.
Who?
And put over.
Who?
The best coach in the AFC East, Rex Ryan.
Really? Tony Sperano says hi. Just joking.
We'll run through Miami and Buffalo close. Let me tell you something. Here's what I'm going to make these veteran sports writers, their head explode right now.
Yeah.
Is Tom Brady better than Mark Sanchez? Obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the Patriots offense better than the Jets offense? Obviously.
Yeah.
Defensively, the Jets is certainly better. And I'm going to tell you something. The advantage, the Jets are my pick to win the AFC. Not only to win the AFC, but to win the entire conference.
By the way, the Jets aren't even this year even rubbing fairy dust on the possibility of Chris Jenkins anchoring that defensive line. That now is out the window. So I don't know if that factors in or not. Obviously not.
No. I still think they've got the best defense, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Because the coach, no one talks about this. The Patriots have not, everyone's all the Bill, you know, with this Haynesworth and this Ocho, they go, oh, the great Bill Belichick reclamation project. Look, Randy Moss was still, was a freak athlete in his prime when they got him, when they stole him from Oakland, okay? He's not going to do anything miraculous. But these two guys are what they are. You talk about Ocho Cinco slightly overrated. I agree with that. He'll have an okay year. Haynesworth, I'm not
Moss
sold on.
Was on the back nine of his prime.
He had a remarkable year.
That was the 17th at Sawgrass.
He had a remarkable year.
That was the back nine.
It wasn't shot. These guys aren't Randy Moss in 2007 is what I'm saying.
Okay.
But this is
I agree
what, here's
that.
My point. The big edge the Jets have over the Patriots
mm-hmm.
is Rex Ryan today. I'm not talking about, you know, taking his whole career. Obviously, Rex Ryan's got a much smaller sample size.
Okay.
So he's been head coach for 2 years. Belichick's won 3 Super Bowls. But right now, today, Rex Ryan is a much better head coach in the NFL than Bill Belichick. And I'm going to say it's not even close.
I thought you were going to say it was a narrow margin. You were going to give it to him by a foot.
No, come on now. But I'm just saying this. Everyone wants to talk about all these defenders of the 47-3 and stuff like that. Yeah, that was a bad game. Okay, that was a bad game.
Yeah.
The AFC Championship was a bad game.
Yeah.
But what happened the other 2 times the Jets beat the played the Patriots? I just gave away the answer. They beat them.
Yeah, that's true.
And in that playoff game, you watched it.
They
humiliated them. Ryan coached circled in back-to-back weeks. People want to rip on Mark Sanchez all the time.
Okay.
I'm telling you right now, I think he is a Pro Bowl caliber year. Mark Sanchez, mark it down. I'm going to tell you why everyone doesn't like Mark Sanchez. Same reason they used to not like Tom Brady back in the day. You convince your girlfriend to sit on the couch with you all day. You finally get her to watch football, and her only comment is, oh, this guy's cute.
Yeah, pretty
and
boy.
And then you don't like him because of it. Mark Sanchez, because look, I don't want to, you know, jump on people of your ilk in the fantasy world here.
Okay.
Okay. But because Mark Sanchez is not a good fantasy football quarterback.
He's the backup on both my teams, so you can say whatever you want about him.
Okay, but and I think that's a good pick this year because he's going to have a good year.
Okay.
But because year 3 is a starter. That's usually when you
yes.
the make or break. You're like Joe Flacco right now when we get to Baltimore. People are like, question because he didn't have a very good year 3. I think Sanchez will have a better year
Well, the
three.
Hipsters like to tout year 3 for wide receivers. That's very smart of you to tout year 3 for quarterbacks.
Yes. I don't want to be like them. But
yes.
Anyway. But 2 years now, you've had the Ryan Sanchez regime.
Yes.
All they did last year, and the first year was kind of lucky. They caught a lot of people by storm. They were fortunate to catch an overrated Cincinnati team in the wild card round that year. San Diego is what San Diego is. They, you know, stole that game in the divisional round. But last year, they went on the road and beat Indianapolis and New England in back-to-back weeks, and Rex Ryan coached circles around Jim Caldwell and Bill Belichick, just destroyed them.
He did.
It humiliated them. They weren't even worthy to be holding a clipboard with the man.
Jim Caldwell has not been the same since having the chance to be Black Seifert got ripped from him. So that didn't work. while you regain your composure, let me chuck another grenade of truth into your world here, though. Because when you talk about Randy Moss circa 2007, okay, neither Derek Mason nor Plaxico Burress is Randy Moss circa 2007 either, and that's what you're going to see Sanchez having to work with here.
Yeah, but he doesn't need Randy Moss from 2007.
Okay.
They've got Santonio Holmes, a fine receiver.
Okay.
Okay, and the Jets are not a team that's going to beat you like the Patriots where they outscore you.
Right.
You know, the Jets are a team that are built for the playoffs. And by the way, this is fair to ask. Are the current Bill Belichick, Tom Brady Patriots a regular season team? You know, everyone used to say, oh, they'll get it done when it matters most. This is a team that is built for the regular season because, you know, most of the games they're going to be the superior team anyway. But they'll out-game play. But when in that one-game scenario, we've seen they're vulnerable. This is a team that has not won a playoff game since 07 AFC Championship, the famous game against San Diego where LT was quit and Phillip Rivers had to carry.
See, by the way, I have the opposite take on that game. As a Patriot hater, I was screaming at Phillip Rivers to get the F out of there and put Billy Volek in the game. It's not your place to be John Wayne. It's
now you are a hipster. Billy Volek is the hipster all-star quarterback.
The best quarterback in the league that nobody gives credence to.
Why? Because he had that nice 60-point game in 2006 where everyone in the playoffs of fantasy football that had him stole the week.
First of all,
Chad Repak's listening right now, and he's smiling because he picked up Billy Volek that week, and everyone was puking on themselves.
Billy Volek didn't have the functional equivalent of a peg leg in the AFC Championship game that year, as Phillip Rivers did. It was selfish. He was putting himself over doing a John Wayne act. He did everything but dig himself with a razor, shades of Eddie Gilbert.
Well, he needed to set an example for his team after LT. LT, it was too cold for LT. Yeah. Also, he had to put the visor down. Phillip Rivers is a man.
Phillip Rivers didn't realize that he shouldn't have been in there. LT
he kept him in.
He
played a good game. He played a good game, Phillip Rivers.
He was a sitting duck. He was an absolute sitting duck.
It's not like he's Michael Vick. It's not like he was going to scramble for a gain of 50 on third down.
I understand that mobility is not his stock in trade, but he had a bad game. He was a sitting duck, and LT, I thought, did the unselfish thing under the circumstances, suffered the slings and arrows of people who thought that he was being selfish and a quitter and everything like that. As far as I'm concerned, he put the team first. Phillip Rivers did not.
Well, they covered the spread.
For educational purposes only. Huddle, huddle, huddle.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, if Mel Kiper was here, he'd tell you that Phillip Rivers, my God, this kid's been an MVP of all five bowl games he was in college, including the Senior Bowl.
Was that a Mel Kiper impersonation?
Nah, it was Mel Kiper mixed with Jim Ross. Yeah, I don't know what it was. I got them cross-referenced.
Your cousin JR is who that sounded like a little bit as well here. A little bit of cross-pollination between
those. He played with a hurt ankle and it was fine.
When you talk about the teams in the AFC, there were four that were clearly above the line last year that were better than everybody else. You had the two that we talked about with New England and the Jets and then Baltimore and Pittsburgh. I think we would agree with that. Those are the four.
Yeah, can we agree on another thing too? Buffalo and Miami kind of stink.
They do.
That's real haves and have nots. That sounds like the Rick Morris United States of America right there, the AFC East. Whether you got a clear divided line, okay? Stay off my front lawn, Buffalo and Miami, okay?
Stay off my front lawn. Keep your hands off my possessions will be the hallmark of a Rick Perry presidency.
Answer this question in one word or less. Who's better, Buffalo or Miami?
You know what? At the risk of being a homer, I'm still going to say my Dolphins. They both suck right now, but I'm going to say my Dolphins.
One word or less. I want to say Buffalo by one game. I think Miami has the bloom is off the Chad Henne Rose.
Yeah, that's true.
I was high on this team last year. I'm embarrassed that I was high on this team. There's not one player on this team I like.
We need to cue up a little bit of Chad Henne as a bitch from the Dead Schembecklers right about now. And
I don't like the Dead Shem. That's offensive to me. That's offensive to me.
That's something that you don't enjoy.
No,
much.
It isn't. That's offensive
to me. You want me to cue up a little Buckeye Bop for you?
No.
We can do that as well.
6 wins for Buffalo, 5 for Miami.
I would transverse that probably between the two here.
Excellent use of the word transverse.
Thank you.
Word
thank
transverse.
You. I probably use it every bit as effectively as Gorilla Monsoon in his commentary back in the day.
They're literally hanging off the rafters.
Yes,
here.
Yes. Yeah. He just punched him in the trapezius. Yes. So.
But Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Baltimore
who do you think is better there? Who do you think is better there?
Boy, I tell you what, my initial impression coming into the season was going to be that I was going to give it to Baltimore at this point. I'm not really sure. I think I am still leaning towards Baltimore.
That's interesting.
Because I think what we saw in the Super Bowl, granted, like I said, Mike McCarthy almost blew it. And I was tweeting during the Super Bowl, and I might look like a putz in after it's done because Green Bay won. I said Green Bay almost blew it, that it was almost a thing of that. But I think that's the book is out on them on how you can exploit Pittsburgh.
It's interesting you say that because I think everyone except us in America thinks Pittsburgh is the better team. I'm agreeing with you. I think it's Baltimore.
You? Really?
People forget how good Baltimore was last year.
Well, you're the hipster that picked Baltimore in the Super Bowl last year, so you're consistent.
Yes. Well, first of all, I like to not pick repeat. Division champions don't repeat, and then that plays a little bit. So I don't like to pick repeat division champions. I tend not to do that. And it's close. I've got them both finishing 10-6. But I've got Baltimore slightly better. People forget how good the Ravens were last year. All 5 losses by 5 points or less.
Okay.
let's take a look, too, who they were at. Two of them were to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They could have won both of them. One was to New England in overtime.
Okay.
One was at Atlanta, who was a very good home team.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other was to Cincinnati, which, you know, people are like, oh, Cincinnati, oh, they stink. Well, it was week two on a short week after the Ravens had just won a very physical game over the Jets the previous Monday night. So, and it was a road game. So people forget how good this team is. Now, Joe Flacco, this is a real feast or famine year for him, I think. I think we're going to find out if he's really worth anything, or they maybe, I mean, I don't want to be, it's so, it is a hipster move to say, oh, do we go in a different direction? I mean, he can, if, you know, if he has a mediocre year, he's still maybe worth something. I love this. I like Lee Evans.
Yeah.
He'll have his usual, you know, two catches, 83 yards every game, probably, you know. The defense is getting older. I do love Ray Lewis. Very good friend of mine.
Oh,
he's a very good close personal friend of mine. So inspirational.
Yeah.
So inspirational.
Yeah. Winning a Super Bowl makes you a good guy after you were part of a murder, allegedly, at the Super Bowl the year before.
I believe.
What a POS.
I believe there was some. I believe there's just a big mix up there.
They talk about all the.
I believe there's a big mix up there.
You talk about all the folks that are in the system these days. There's always been one too few, in my estimation, as long as Ray Lewis is walking the streets.
But so inspirational.
I got to give the devil his due. He's been a great player. He still is
the best middle linebacker of all time.
Wow, Dick Butka says hi.
Yeah, Ray, you don't see Ray Lewis whoring himself out to the XFL. I'll give it to you right now, okay? Okay.
Mike Singletary says hi also.
Yeah. You won't see Ray Lewis coaching 5-11 football teams either.
No, you won't. Yeah. You won't see him mooning Vernon Davis in the locker room either.
No.
You know, to make a point.
Although we could kill him. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, he would do worse things to him. But those teams in that division, that's one of the things that's really going to make it tough. I know people are expecting locally from where we're based here, the Cleveland Browns to take a big step up. You got two road bump games against the Bengals. You have the NFC West, but beyond that, I don't see the schedule as being as advantageous as people are saying for the Browns.
It's going to be Heartbreak Hotel.
You think so?
I think I could see this team legitimately starting 6-3. You know the way people in this town get. We're so good. We're so good. And then the bottom's going to drop out.
Right.
I see them finishing 7-9. They are kind of a sleeper team for me.
Yeah.
If I can make a hipster pick, which I don't like to do, in the AFC, the Browns are a potential. If either Pitts, because I'm not really high on either Pittsburgh or Baltimore.
Okay.
If one of them does slip, if maybe there's a big injury, I mean, you can't pick injuries, obviously, at this time of year. You can't say, Ben Roethlisberger's going to, tear his ACL at week four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't say something like that. The Browns could maybe take. The schedule is very, very good for them. I mean, especially with Peyton Manning maybe not playing in week two.
Right.
I've got buddies who think they're going to start 5-0.
Although, by the way,
and I look at the schedule, as crazy as that sounds, it could happen, Ricky. Remember Kansas City last year? One of the lamer things that I see on TV when that surprise team no one sees coming starts out like 3-0.
Right.
Can this team make the playoffs?
Kansas City last year.
Yeah. Well, I remember Kansas City started 3-0 last year, and I took a look at the schedule. I actually participated in this lame exercise. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the schedule and said, oh, my God, there are no good teams on the schedule, Ricky.
Right.
I think Kansas City is going to do it. And if you look at the Browns here, thank you, by the way, for bringing this.
Producer Steve in the house.
Yeah, home against the Bengals. I think you could put that as a win. At the Colts, I'm telling you.
If no Peyton Manning, that's a win for the Browns.
The Colts stink without Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Okay, the Dolphins at home. I told you I don't like the Dolphins.
We have not
mentioned the Titans yet. I don't like them either. I actually like them less than the Dolphins.
Below.
And the Raiders, I like them the least. And the Seabacks?
Yeah.
I mean, the Raiders and the Seabacks?
This is a totally backloaded schedule. It's one of the most backloaded schedules I've ever seen.
The 49ers? They're not good. I mean, to be honest with you, Rick, let's say Peyton Manning doesn't play this year.
Right.
Okay, I hope he does. You know, I don't root for that for any team. But if that's the case, okay? Or let's just take that game out, the Colts, because that's such a question mark right now. Bengals, Dolphins, Titans, Raiders, Seahawks, 49ers are the six other games in the first seven. I don't have any of those teams winning more than five games this year.
And it's a really, really odd schedule because I know that the schedule makers are trying to get divisional games more towards the end of the season. And it's a really, really odd thing. I'm going to take a second here and just kind of break this down because it's very, very bizarre how they're doing this. They do not play either the Ravens or the Steelers before December 4th. December 4th, they play the Ravens. Then that Thursday night Steelers game, December 8th. Then December 24th, Ravens, January 1st, Steelers. The four of the last five games are against I think we could agree, by far the two toughest teams on the schedule. It's really bizarre how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, I brought that up nonstop. I mean, I talk about how I think they're going to get off to the good start. But, yeah, four times in the last five. And the other game, I believe, is at Arizona, who's going to be improved.
I've never seen anything like that.
I could honestly see the Browns losing their last five games.
I could see
them being in this great situation, 7-4. Oh, Cleveland's back. The dog pounds back. And then they just fall flat on their face.
By the way, circling back quickly here, since you brought up about the NFC West, does it make me a hipster? I am a huge Steve Spagnuolo mark. Rams make the playoffs.
Again, because of the net wins thing I brought up with Detroit.
Yeah.
Could I see it? Yes, just because of that division. So, see, the one advantage they have over Detroit is that their division's awful.
It is.
Seattle,
historically
I have.
Historically bad.
I mean, it was historically bad last year, and it could be worse this year. Seattle, I think, is the worst team in football.
It could be.
San Francisco ain't much better. Right. I love Jimmy Harbaugh.
By the way, what does it say about the intelligence of a Sidney Rice, who previously played under Tavares Jackson, a quarterback, and chooses to go back to a situation with Tavares Jackson, a quarterback? I mean, this is something where, I mean, I'm telling you, and not to make light of it, abused spouses have nothing on this guy with what he's running back to.
How about your boy Daryl Bevel following him, too? I mean, the whole gang is back together in Seattle. And you coach him up Pete. I don't know what he's going to be able to do. But, I mean, you know, I mean, maybe he can. I mean, giving him money doesn't work at this level. They're already paid.
He's got a shallower salary cap at this level,
actually. Yeah, I was going to say, I like Coach up Pete. And not as many graduate assistants either, I understand.
No. Okay. With the beach house. Huddle.
Hey, Charlie Weiss knows that's true.
Well, so who would you say if not the Rams?
Well, the Cardinals is my pick.
Oh, Cardinals,
and I say that knowing in my back of my mind, I don't like Kevin Cobb that much.
Okay.
You know, Kevin Cobb's statistics are not that great.
Right.
But Arizona, clearly, you know, last year I think a lot of people, I wasn't the only one, I'm not some, like, genius, picked them to take a huge step back.
Right.
Because this is a quarterback league, Ricky.
Right.
And when you go from Kurt Warner, you know, who, by the way, used to stock shelves in Iowa. I don't know if you knew that.
That's a rumor.
Yeah, to the platoon of Derek Anderson, John Skelton, and Max Hall, you're going to lose a lot more games than you did the previous year.
Right, and a guy who managed to do a huge marital upgrade without getting a divorce. How did that happen? The before and after on that chick is just unbelievable.
Well, that's what happens when you go from, the giant eagle to the Super Bowl,
well,
I suppose.
You know, her not getting a flat top was the first step in her rehabilitation, I think. Yeah, it's amazing what that can do for you. But I look at it here, the 49ers, a lot of people are figuring they could be sort of a team to make a jump up in that division.
I don't.
I'm not seeing it.
I'm going to say this about the 49ers because no one talks about this.
Okay.
When people talk about worst draft picks of all, I don't like the way they talk about it because it's usually, you know, a lot of times, you know, the Raiders, oh, they picked Jamarcus Russell. That's the worst draft pick of all time.
Right.
Well, yeah, but everyone was saying that they should pick Jamarcus Russell.
Okay.
You know, they were doing what everyone was saying, so it was just a bad evaluation. I think that's more maybe on the player, even though I wasn't crazy in Jamarcus Russell. He basically played one good half against an overrated Notre Dame team.
Right. And we didn't even know about the syrup thing back then.
Yes. Sipping on some scissor, yes. Yeah. But the true worst draft pick of this past decade, and this is going to make sense, San Francisco, Alex Smith. I'm going to tell you why. Because that year, it was considered a real coin flip. If you remember, there were two good quarterbacks in that draft, and they said whichever one didn't get picked by San Francisco was going to plummet because no other bad team really needed a quarterback.
And you're right, and because Charlie Fry went to the third round.
Oh, yeah. No, and the other guy's obviously Aaron Rodgers, who dropped to whatever he did to Green Bay. And can you imagine right now, because everyone says the 49ers are just really weak in one spot, and it's quarterback. Can you imagine the respective, you know, where those, because Brett Favre, maybe they don't push him out. Maybe he's still playing.
Right.
Maybe John Madden's still announcing.
That's entirely possible.
And San Francisco's a great team because if San Francisco had Aaron Rodgers, they'd be very good.
They would be.
But they don't. They have Alex Smith, who stinks.
Right.
Okay. And let's be honest, Andrew, you know, I don't know if they're bad enough to get Andrew Luck. They're probably not bad enough to be in line to get Andrew
Luck. They're
not
in the suck for luck sweepstakes.
No, no. Okay. But San Francisco to me is like a 5-win team. Seattle is like a 3-win team.
Okay.
I think they're that bad. And so that leaves us with kind of our battle here to bring it full circle, St. Louis and Arizona. But St. Louis falls into the same kind of thing as Detroit, even more so with the net win. They went from 1 to 7 wins. So people are like, oh, they're going to keep getting better. Again, that kind of growth is hard to sustain. I see the Rams as a 6 or 7 win football. They still don't have a lot of weapons for Bradford. Jackson's a day older, you know, a dollar shorter. And they have no risk. In many ways, the Rams and it's interesting with the Shurmur connection, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of a lot like the Browns, I think, of the NFC,
yeah.
where they are kind of that sleeper, but they have terrible production at the receiving core.
Right.
You know, the young quarterback, you know, not a lot of people paying attention to him. If the Rams won it, I would not, you know, I can't believe this. I've never seen
right.
anything like this. But I'm going to side with the Cardinals just because I think they've got, you know, better overall personnel.
Let me break you off a little counter-pizzoint on Arizona here. That being, in the last 2 years, the Bidwells have remembered that they're the Bidwells. They've
yeah.
been letting a lot of the higher-priced boys walk. They're going to be waving the bloody shirt forever on the Larry Fitzgerald contract. We can't pay you because we're paying it all to Larry Fitzgerald. So are you troubled by that at all?
A little bit, okay. But, I mean, it was important to keep him.
No.
They needed to keep him.
They had to, but again, and I'm just saying this, part of it is, as a bitter Indians fan, I'm coming from a game today
yes.
where the Indians, with the Dolans having burned my favorite team to the ground, it's a thing where where it should be, you do this and you do this, bad organizations do this and not this.
Yes.
And I'm saying that Fitzgerald will be an example of that.
It's true. I mean, well, again, this division, historically bad last year.
Right.
It could be worse this year. I got Arizona 8-8,
okay.
which would be better, obviously. I mean, last
it's enough
year
to win it.
Last year, I mean, yeah, 8-8 wins this division easily.
Yeah.
There is no way any of these teams finish 9-7.
Right.
I mean, there is 7-9 could win this.
Right.
At one point, when Arizona didn't even have Cobb yet,
okay.
I was convinced 6-10 could maybe take this thing.
I mean, that was only a game higher than that won it last
yeah.
year, so you wouldn't have been too far off.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's possible. That's possible.
I wanted to bring up one thing, by the way. I'm sorry. I kind
no,
of
go
ran
ahead.
Off when you talked about the Browns' schedule about Pittsburgh. I just
yeah.
wanted to make you smile here. I've got some stats on them. I want
good,
to bring this
good.
Back. Another reason I don't like them, Super Bowl loser curse, the Super Bowl hangover loser curse.
Good.
Are you familiar with this?
Yeah, that they
okay,
don't tend to go very well.
Yeah, I mean, 8 of the last 12 years, the previous year's Super Bowl loser
okay.
has not made the playoffs.
Okay.
Okay, the Steelers, by the way, have followed their previous two Super Bowl appearances. Both were wins
mm-hmm.
over Seattle and Arizona by not making the playoffs the following year.
Okay.
Now, the last 2 years, the Super Bowl loser has come back to make it, but it was Arizona 2 years ago, who was in the awful West. And Indianapolis last year did not have a good year. They just lucked out that the rest of that division was mediocre or worse.
Yeah.
So only twice has the Super Bowl loser from the previous year gone on to have a better record the previous year. So the Steelers will everyone's all the Steelers. They're so good. They will not win as many games this year as they did last year. I book it.
I certainly hope that's the case. And If that is the case, then 90% of the Pall Mall smokers in America will not have a very good autumn this year,
yeah.
if that's the case. But that is something where when you look at that, we were talking West a second ago here to double back around.
Do you think Cincinnati? You think Cincinnati's the worst team, but we didn't mention them.
Cincinnati,
think they're the worst
yeah.
team?
I think they probably are. I think Cincinnati's just god-awful. I think Andy Dalton's career is going to be over before it begins because of everything in Cincinnati. They're just set up to fail. I think it's just god-awful. You talk about the Bidwells, forgetting that they were the Bidwells when they were doing well. Mike Brown has always remembered that he's Mike Brown, and that's why the team's in the crapper, because he refuses to upgrade.
Again, though, I don't see any way they could be worse than they were last year.
They had Carson Palmer last year instead of a rookie quarterback. They had Ocho instead of the guys that they're going to have in the core
Ocho's
right now.
Ocho's overrated. Owens is done. Let me tell you a little secret that people in the Queen City could probably agree with.
Okay.
Carson Palmer stinks. His career has been over for about 3 years.
So a rookie with no weapons is going to do better than Carson Palmer did last year?
He won't do worse.
Okay.
Andy Dalton, this team, everyone's, if they had Carson Palmer, they'd be competitive. If this team's bad...
I'm not saying that, but
yeah,
I think they'd be better off.
If this team is bad, it's
mm-hmm.
not because they have Andy Dalton instead of Carson Palmer. They will do no worse because of that. I actually think he could catch some people by surprise. A.J. Green is going to have a really good year, by the way.
That's possible as well. Yeah, that's possible.
I mean, I remember watching them play a game against Buffalo last year. Again, it was one of those entertainment purposes only kind of games that I had. And Brian, you know, my roommate at the time, he was there, and I had told him for entertainment purposes only to really pay attention to Buffalo
mm-hmm.
in that game. And they were down early. And he's like, I will never listen to you again when for entertainment purposes only you tell me to look at Buffalo. And then there it was Buffalo fans, and the two of you out there can maybe remind me about this. I think it was the third quarter. They just kept scoring on Cincinnati. There were interception returns.
Yep.
And they kept scoring on every drive. And I look at Brian, I'm like, how awful is this Cincinnati right now? I don't think they can possibly be as bad as they were at that moment.
No.
Now, they're not good. I think they're like a five. I think I've got them winning five games, though,
okay.
which is more than I think most people do.
Oh, absolutely. I think
they are
that
not
really
the worst team in football. I think there's at least five teams worse.
Interesting. Well, as far as the other perennial powers in the AFC, to circle back around to that, Indianapolis, San Diego. I don't think that if Peyton Manning's healthy, is there much question, if any, there's none in my book whatsoever, that Indianapolis and San Diego take home the other two division championships?
Oh, I think there's a lot of question with Indianapolis.
Even if he's healthy.
If he's healthy, I'm telling you right now, I said it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Indianapolis will not make the playoffs this year. Because,
wow.
Because cue up the Beach Some Ballroom, baby.
Houston.
Stop me when you've heard this song and dance before, this indie rock song, okay?
Yeah.
The Houston Texans are coming to town. I'm going to tell you why, and you're going to laugh.
Let me tell you something.
You're going to laugh at the stands.
I threw out that Pixies CD last fall when they went in the crapper, okay? It's right. Done. I'm not buying a replacement, Kyle.
Okay. Let me tell you something, okay? Let me tell you something. You might have thrown out the Pixies, but put the Sonic Youth back on, buddy. All right? Because listen here. By the way, how dated are we? We're like, our version of indie rock is groups that have been around for like 25 years. Anyway, look, we all know the offense is good in Houston, and I fell into this last year. I didn't say they win the division. I said they'd be a wild card team Houston was last year. And I want to point out for the record, they did open that year with a huge win over Indianapolis, where Arian Foster, you're a fantasy guy, you remember this game, had his breakout game, okay? Everyone had said going into the year that was the biggest game in Texans history. And I think it psyched them out because they won it, and I think they won the following week, too, a real nice game in overtime against Washington. Schaub had the big game. And I think from there that they started got caught reading their own press clippings a little too much, and it all went bad with that Hail Mary game against Jacksonville.
Yep.
I mean, they just invented ways to lose last year. It didn't go well.
Right.
I don't like Gary Kubiak. Okay. Part of the reason I kind of don't want. I was shocked he was retired. I think because of the lockout was the only reason he was retained, because they didn't want to go through a coaching change in a lockout year.
Right.
Gary Kubiak kind of seems dumb to me. But speaking of bad head coaches, I think the name that is most important to Houston this year is Wade Phillips. I think if you looked at their defense looked good in the preseason. I know it's preseason, but they looked through the first 3 weeks they were playing the best defense statistically of any team in the league.
As long as he's not a head coach, he's unstoppable.
Exactly. He's a very good defense. He's a very nice man. So
yeah.
Didn't you always feel bad for him in those press conferences? He always just seemed so flustered.
Yeah.
Why do I have this job?
Yeah.
I'm never going to lead the Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl. I'm not Jimmy Johnson. Look, they offered to pay me to do this. Would you turn it down? I mean, you know, I felt so bad for him. But you know what he did? San Diego, once upon a time, you brought up San Diego, and we'll talk about them too, because I like them a lot. San Diego, once upon a time, was a very bad team in this league, you know, before Marty showed up. Wade Phillips was the defensive coordinator there, okay? He took a defense that was rated 31st the year before he arrived and took them to number 11 his first year. I think Houston was historically bad last year.
They were.
I think we could see a jump like that from the Texans, and if we do,
that would be enough in a division that's vulnerable. Because you talked about before with Houston and with Jacksonville, the Jacksonville game last year, that inexplicable first half of the season for Jacksonville that was shades of the Barry Horowitz Hakushi program of the summer of 95.
Yeah.
You kept waiting to know when the tide was going to turn here.
I can't believe you just referenced that.
Yes.
Yeah, luckily you're doing the show with me, because anyone else would have just stared at you with the microphone. It's like, sorry, sir, what are you talking about?
Anybody listening's not going to get it, but as you used to say in the old SNS days, that's a joke that three people got and two of us are right here.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, Jacksonville, it's 2 years in a row that they've been in, that they were, I think they were 7-4 2 years ago, and they were 7-5 last year. Maybe I got the years mixed up, but regardless, they were in great position. And, you know, I was like, God, I hope they don't make the playoffs. What a boring, bland team. I don't want to watch this team. And again, because they're a terrible December team. And they've had awful losses. So I don't like them. You're right. The division. And I really don't like Tennessee. I like Tennessee with the Johnson holdout.
Right.
That didn't help anything. First-year head coach. Matt Hassel. People like, oh, well, you know, Jake Locker's the future. But it's not the immediate future. So let's go out and get Matt Hassel. Matt Hassel has not been good in 3 years.
Right. Kenny Britt is erratic. So, yeah. I mean,
on and off the field.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I don't like either of those teams. So it's really a two-horse race between Houston. And most of these, honestly, when you look at these first three divisions we talked about in the AFC, the East, the North, and the South, it's two-horse races.
It is.
And this one, I've got Houston sneaking in 9-7 division champs.
Wow. All right. I
think the Colts could finish that. If Peyton Manning doesn't play, the Texans win in a walk.
Oh,
because
the
Colts
might.
Will be awful. I mean, they'll be like 5-11, 6-10 without Manning.
Yeah, that might be by default.
But look, even if he does play, it may not be for the best. He's not 100%.
Right.
He's coming off neck surgery. The supporting cast has gotten really weak. And like I mentioned earlier, Jim Caldwell is not a very good head coach.
No, he's not. He is, well, he's had his moments early on, but he's got to be able to sustain
it. Black
I really did call him Black Seifert. Yes, I did.
I did.
That's been my nickname. It's an affectionate nickname, I like to think.
Okay.
You know?
Black Seifert.
I don't know if the NAACP would agree, but that's an affectionate nickname. But as far as it goes in the West, there's not even a second horse there with San Diego, This is regression for Kansas City. Charlie Weiss has gone down to Gainesville. That offense is going to regress in his absence here. Jonathan Baldwin is too busy punching things to be an effective wide receiver in his first year, so I just don't see it.
Yeah, this – well, the Green Bay winning the NFC North is the easiest division to call.
Yeah.
But this is the easiest of the AFC and the second easiest overall. You're right. Kansas City, I talked earlier about with Chicago teams that made the playoffs last year. Okay, let's circle a couple that you don't think will make it this year because history says it's about a 50% turnover rate.
Right.
Kansas City, to me, is the obvious pick.
They certainly are.
To not make the playoffs again this year. I mean, they're Cincinnati, I think, almost, of 2 years. Remember Cincinnati had that?
Yes.
You know where everything went right. It was an easy schedule. They beat up on a division that was down. They just had a lot of fortuitous things go their way.
Right.
Charlie Weiss, look, people make fun of him, obviously, because he was the coach of some overrated Notre Dame teams. But
decided schematic advantage.
Yes. But he's a good offense. Well, again, like Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
He's a great coordinator.
Yep.
And, you know, Todd Haley, you know, he was obviously a coordinator for Arizona during their glory period. But their offense stunk his first year.
He's a very poor consumer when it comes to places doing bariatric surgery.
Yes,
we should say that.
Yes. And I'm not sold on Matt Castle.
No, I'm not either. I think he's above average. I don't think he's much more than that.
I'd rather have Mark Sanchez.
Oh, yeah, because he's got the upside. I agree with that. Mark Sanchez has much better upside, and you know, particularly.
Well, I don't think a lot of people would agree with what I just said.
Really? You think a lot more people would? Well, it all depends, too. If we're using fantasy parlance of keeper league, I think 100 people out of 100 take Mark Sanchez. If we're talking about this year and beyond, I think everybody agrees with you on that. For this year, I mean, I still agree with you on Sanchez. You think it would be that that much of a toss-up between what people think?
I really do.
Wow.
Maybe
okay.
I just hang out in the wrong circles.
Ah, might be. You've been down at the Grog Shock a little too much, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Kansas City to me is a clear team, like 8-8, 7-9 this year.
Okay.
They're taking a step back. And Denver, let's hold on them because we're going to get into a debate about them.
Okay.
Oakland is awful. How was this team 8-8 last year?
There's a lot of hipsters out there that are saying Oakland. And the thing I love, every person who has talked up Oakland to me, it's one of these things here where Kevin Nealon, subliminal man, they mentioned the Asamoah thing. Like, yeah, they had a great defense this year. Of course, Asamoah left. But then, like, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why are you glossing over that you lost probably the co-best cornerback in the league along with Revis?
And your best player.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they lost their best player. And they were 6-0 in the division last year. Did not make the playoffs. That's never happened before. No team has ever, in NFL history, has ever swept its divisional. I'm not talking just the post-2002 realignment.
Right.
I'm talking about ever.
Right.
Now, obviously, that makes sense because the divisions used to be bigger. But no team has ever swept the divisional schedule and not made the playoffs.
Right.
Keep in mind, okay, so 6-0 versus the division, they were 2-8 non-division foes. They played the NFC West last year, Ricky.
Yep.
So that's not good. This is a quarterback-driven league. Their quarterback is Jason Campbell.
Right.
Okay. Terrell Pryor's not going to play.
Waiting in the wings.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's
Jamarcus
not.
Russell, 2K 11.
And to me, who are the good players on the Raiders?
There aren't any.
Yeah, I know. I think they're the worst team in the AFC. I got them at 4-12.
Yeah, McFadden finally had the
year. McFadden's okay.
Well,
he's injury prone. Like your boy Matt Stafford. I never touched on that, by the way. You threw that out there. Oh, is Matt Stafford going to stay healthy this year? Let me give the short answer. No.
Well, let's not act like he's Montario Hardesty or Lawyer Tillman or anything here. That is yet to be proven, as I pull that out of my arse.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, the way that it is with Oakland, too, it's a situation where our senior editor, Jason Jones, he was the first to call this when he was coming out, and there was this avalanche of McFadden hype the year that he was a rookie. Now, last year he did pretty well, but prior to that, everything Jason said about him, the inability to run inside was true. He historically has struggled between the tackles and as far as having that kind of ability to fight through the first hit. So McFadden is unproven beyond last year as far as doing that.
And if you don't have a good passing game, which the Raiders don't.
No.
I mean, you can stack the box against
you
them.
You can.
I just think the Raiders stink. Now, Denver, I want to have this debate with you about
okay.
Denver. You know what the debate's going to be about, don't you?
You know, why would you think just because I'm right wing I'm going to stick up for Tebow? I think you think that that's where I'm going, but I'm not going to.
Well, I'm telling you, even though that I'm not a practicing devout Christian, I'm going to stick up for him too.
Yeah, you are.
What do you got to say about that? You
wow.
probably didn't think that was coming, did you?
Wow, the right wing guy goes against Tebow, and the liberal goes for wow. Nothing is predictable in the FDH lounge. All right, take it away for Tim Tebow.
Kyle Orton's a hipster. Okay, let me tell you something about all these Kyle Orton fans out there about your Messiah quarterback. Okay, Denver Broncos were 3-10 with him as a starter last year, but he put up these great numbers. Yeah, it's easy to throw for 300 plus yards when your team's getting its arse kicked every week.
Were they losing because of him though?
Oh, the rest of the team's bad.
Right.
But here's the thing, okay? Kyle Orton, to me, if John Fox were Jack Del Rio,
mm-hmm.
meaning his situation, not as a person, but in his situation where, okay, he's been there for a while.
Okay.
He probably needs to have a decent year to, you know, keep his job security. I could understand going with Kyle Orton because, all right, who has a better guaranteed shot at going 7-9 maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Orton, probably. Okay, but let me tell you what Kyle Orton does not give you a good shot at doing, being any better than 7-9. Kyle Orton will never be the quarterback of a good team in this league,
well,
ever.
And here's the thing, too.
Ever. I'm not saying Tim Tebow will, but at least you don't know that of that. Kyle Orton, I'm telling you, Kyle Orton will never do better than 500. Tim Tebow, maybe he can't either, but, you know, you don't know if he could. And, you know, I know it's lame. You know, I'm not going to say he's just a football player, because of course he's just a football player. But he was a winner in college, and he looked okay out there. It's not like he looked terrible. You know,
Danny Werfel won a national championship. Gino Toretto won a national championship.
Yeah, but they didn't ever look good in the NFL.
Right.
You know, Tim Tebow, he looks pretty good in there. People always, like, want to make fun of his mechanics.
Oh.
Well, what, because he's not, like, doing well in drills? He's not a good – Tim Tebow's a guy that if you put him in the game – You know, again, like a Sanchez,
right.
It went ugly for you.
Well, our senior editor, Jason Jones, who's a big Tebow advocate, I don't want to sit here and heel on him, but after
well,
he was very...
Jason
was very,
and I don't always agree either.
Well, Jason's very impressed with what he saw of Tebow personally. You know what game he went to last year? The Houston game. So, there
yeah.
you go.
Well, he looked good against Oakland. Well, I mean, Oakland's not very good either, but
well,
yeah.
Well, you know, they did have Asamoah at the time,
yeah,
so
but,
there,
I mean,
there
to
is
me,
that.
He's just going to make some... Look, you're right. It was, to your point... Mm-hmm. Was that Kyle Orton's fault they were 3-10?
No,
not all of it. Their defense is still really bad. But I just think that it's a first-year head coach. You can take a rebuilding year. At least it's the, do you know what this is?
What?
All over again to bring this, you know, locally. It's the Brady Quinn, Derek Anderson thing all
right.
over again. Are either of them probably great quarterbacks in the
right.
long run? No. But if you use a first-round draft pick on a guy, okay? You have to play him. Otherwise, what were you think? I mean, I know that was a different regime.
Right.
Okay? But don't you have to play him? I mean, to see what you got? Like, because to me, Derek Anderson and Kyle Orton, Orton's better than Derek Anderson. But it's the same. They're never going to be the quarterback of a good team.
Well, you're right.
And Brady Quinn, we found out that he kind of stinks too, obviously, even though he's never really had a shot. I guess everyone just agrees now that he stinks. But just put Tebow in there. You can if you stink, you weren't going to do that much better with Kyle Orton in there.
I'm not a Tebow guy, but that's convincing what you're saying to me. But the thing is that Tim Tebow, what's interesting is he's the white quarterback who's come out, who's dealing with a lot of the same things. Generally, we're used to talking about black quarterbacks who are athletic, who have the mechanical stuff. For the same reason that I sit here and I harshly critique some of the guys who come out like a Cam Newton or anything like that, with Tim Tebow, those mechanics are god-awful. And when you start getting into issues of muscle memory and everything like that, is that hitch, that throwing motion, going to be something that works for him at this level? You're battling a lot of history if you think that it is.
I understand that mechanically he is not the finest quarterback ever produced into this
no.
league. But look, there's a lot of guys that they always talk about. The Tedford quarterbacks, you talk about all these guys, all that they learn from the best, all their mechanics. They stink.
Right.
To me, let the guy play. You don't know unless if he plays in real games for a significant part of time.
Well, maybe it'll be the first offense in the history of the league to be successful where the guy takes three steps back from center, jumps in the air, and throws it to somebody. Maybe that'll work.
Maybe Kyle Orton can be Chris Leak.
Chris Leak.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, they did well that year. I mean, I don't. To me, it's just stupid to waste a first-round draft pick like that.
Well, you know what? You're getting to something that's a pet peeve of mine, and I'll get to this before we circle around full-blown on football here. The whole thing of, and I had written about this in our recent football guide that we had, the thing I hate with coaches, and Eric Mangini exemplified it, you get to a team, I can't win with this. The inmates are running the asylums because the general managers don't have the balls to say, this is what's here, and I expect you to at least see what these guys can do on the field. These damn baby-ass coaches that are, I can't win with this. That is a poisonous atmosphere in this league, Kyle Ross.
I think that's a very good point. You were very passionate about
Thank
that.
Thank you.
You were very, because you're right. It's like, well, why'd you take the job then? So
right.
You could complain and say you didn't like the players?
Well, because I've seen my hometown team, the Cleveland Browns, get turned upside down every 2 or 3 years because
and
some new
bad.
Prick comes in there and says, I can't win with these guys.
Yeah.
It is your responsibility to try to build something on the fly. You turn it over, you get the guys out that don't work, but you don't deliberately import nothing but CBA-type guys and refugees from your last team because those are the guys who know your system. It's ridiculous.
Agreed. Regardless, by the way, Denver 5-11. 6-10, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
The AFC is interesting to me. You know, it's funny. I talk about the 50% playoff just mm-hmm. because we've done all the AFC now. We talk about the 50% playoff rule.
Yeah.
And
the AFC's got more holdovers, right?
Yeah. Well, the lockout, since the playoff format was realigned in 90,
mm-hmm.
all right, let me just back so everyone understands what the 50% playoff rule means. Since 1990, the average number of repeat playoff teams is 6.5 per
okay.
year. So, it's, you know, obviously you can't have half a playoff team. So it's basically right at 6, so
right.
about 50%. There has never been less than 4, never been more than 8.
Okay.
I think this year you're going to see it skew high because of the lockout, because, you know, some of these teams that are trying new things are such a disadvantage with
right.
new coaches and stuff. AFC, you're right, though, the holdovers, I think, are really, I mean, especially your New England's, I think we agree that, I mean, to summarize, I've got the Jets winning the East.
Mm-hmm.
New England is a wild card.
Okay.
You probably have, I think it sounds like you have it flipped.
Transversed, yep.
Yep. North, I've got Baltimore winning. Pittsburgh is a wild card.
Gotcha. Same with me.
Okay. In the South, I do have Houston, which would be a new team.
I'm going with Indy. Chalky
okay.
McChalkerson.
Okay. Well, that's another holdover. So you've got 5 for 5 on holdovers. Like I'm
yeah.
And then San Diego would be new, but they don't feel new. Because,
yeah, they're
you know,
not. Yeah, they're the incumbent.
Yeah, yeah. Let's be honest. This team was number one.
Right.
Everyone said Seattle, worst division winner ever last year.
Right.
I think San Diego, best team ever not to win a division last year.
What San Diego is... To go back, and I'm using a political analogy, but
I'm not making
a burn here, but I'm using an analogy. San Diego is Hillary Clinton in 2008. She was the incumbent against Barack Obama. Let's just say, technically there was no incumbent because the Democrats weren't in office.
Yeah, yeah.
She was the incumbent. San Diego didn't win the division last year. They're the incumbent,
yeah,
okay?
No,
Kansas City won it on a fluke.
Yeah, when people even, like, suggest to me, oh, when I tell them that I like San Diego, oh, what about Kansas City? Like, I'm almost kind of stunned. Like, really? You like Kansas City?
Right,
you know,
right.
It's like, really? It's like, you didn't think that was a fluke?
Well, see, one of our dignitaries...
The only thing that stinks about San Diego is North Turner.
Yeah, yeah, but that can be enough, though. That can be enough. He imparts a soft kind of mindset and mentality to that team that dribbles down. That can be enough.
I love Philip Rivers, by the way.
Philip Rivers
is great.
The
John Wayne of the NFL.
Well, he put himself over the good of the team that one day, but we can agree to disagree on that.
I also liked when he really got on my good side on that Monday night game against Jay Cutler. We just went on the – how unprofessional was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that was.
How unprofessional
that
was
really,
that? I loved every
that
second.
Really was.
He's like going to play in that heel.
Right,
okay.
Right. He knew how to do that.
What took the victory lap after the team beat Indianapolis the game he didn't even play in.
That is, yeah.
And ran around, we beat you, we
that's
beat
tremendous.
You.
Yeah, he's going Cal Ripken, breaking the streak, you know, for something like that.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Well, FDH Lounge original dignitary Nate Noy likes to abuse me for this, for picking too many holdovers from year to year. I'm picking 9 this year because we cover the ones from the AFC, and then in the NFC, I'm saying Philly, Atlanta, Green Bay, and then I'm trying to think of who my other holdover was because I'm picking St. Louis to win the West,
and
Detroit, and I'm trying to think of who my other
New Orleans?
Holdover. New Orleans, yeah. You got to pick New Orleans to make the playoffs.
Well, yeah, this, you know, the South. Remember last year, by the
yeah.
way, you were stunned when we first met when I told you about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You told me that.
And
yeah,
that was my pick to be the most improved team
that,
in football.
That was a grog shop special,
yeah,
but they did a good year.
But were they not the most? What's amazing
yeah.
is. They were. Here's what's amazing, and I wrote about this, you know, in my world, you know, my entertainment purposes only world, I wrote about this. What was amazing about Tampa Bay last year was they actually exceeded my expectations and yet did not make the playoffs, which
right.
I thought they were going to do.
Right.
This year I expect more people to like them. want them not to do as well. They reek of 8-8. They did not look good in the preseason.
No, they didn't, but they've finally.
I like
now,
Josh Freeman a lot. And I like Raheem Morris. I thought he was going to stink, but I kind of like his stats are for losers line.
Yeah.
I always kind of like those caveman approaches.
That's true. But see, with Tampa Bay, though, one of the things that scares me.
A lot of close wins last year. Their record could have actually been a lot worse.
And what are they, like $80 million under the cap? Spend some money, a-holes. Yeah, I mean, really, come on.
Well, you're going to start spending some money. Maybe they can fund Obamacare.
Yeah. they're like the banks that won't lend any money to people with the money on the sidelines. That's Tampa Bay for you right there. They're the same thing.
Okay, I agree with you on New Orleans and Atlanta because there's never been and once again, I go with history because, people are like, how can you say it? Well, it's never happened before. Okay,
right.
That's why I'm saying it. I actually have New Orleans and Atlanta both 11-5. I've done this on a lot of divisions where I picked the two teams that finished tied. I'm just saying New Orleans is the champ, though, just because there's never been a repeat division champion in the history of this division.
Okay.
Ever. I mean, the reason I picked Tampa Bay is because last place teams have always come back to have tremendous years the following year.
Right.
So I've got New Orleans and Atlanta both making it, just like you.
Okay.
Green Bay is a holdover as well. I've got Arizona, who would be new.
Okay.
And not St. Louis. And then we'll talk about the East. I guess it'll be the last division. But Carolina, one would think, based on the way I picked, would have a huge improved year. But the lockout,
they're going to suck.
I don't think they'll be improved.
New regime. Quarterback who was a one-year wonder in college.
I like Cam Newton.
Ugh.
He's not Jamarcus Russell. That's so.
He's not Jamarcus Russell.
I'm going to say something right now that's controversial. That I think it's racist when people say that. And I don't like playing the race card. I think it's overplayed.
I don't know if he has a taste for syrup.
Okay.
But he has more accuracy, but I will say this. His deep accuracy, not great. Another guy, strong arm, but, I'm not going to say million-dollar arm, 10-cent brain, but he does not have the deep accuracy you want for a guy with that arm.
Did Jamarcus Russell lead an undefeated team to the national championship?
He did indeed.
Jamarcus Russell did?
I thought he...
No, he didn't.
I'm thinking of Newton.
I told you it was right.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No, he didn't. They won a BCS
I didn't make any lookalike comments here.
Although Jamarcus Russell kind of looks like The Game, and Cam Newton looks like Drake, so they have that, and they both look like famous rappers. But
with my general ignorance of hip-hop, I'll just nod my head at that comparison.
I'm true. Yes. Yes, Cuban B. But look, Cam Newton was the best player on a team that won the National. Cam Newton. He's not terrible. I'd like to see. I think he could do something. I think he could be okay. I mean, he has not a lot of talent around him, and you're right. The new regime in a lockout year, and that division's tough.
The lockout is going to be unfriendly to teams dealing with major changes.
Yeah, I think the two teams that are really going to get killed by the lockout the most are Carolina and Tennessee.
Yeah.
But unlike Tennessee, Carolina has only one way to go.
Right.
I mean, they only won two games last year. They were really bad.
Right.
I could see them winning like 4 or 5.
That is entirely possible. That could happen. And
just because history says the NFC South will improve.
We've talked about with the East. I mean, I think both of us like the Eagles here.
The only division champ from last year that I believe will repeat this year.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles are going to. I'm finally getting off the Giants bandwagon. I've been waiting for the Giants to climb back up the last couple of years. It hasn't happened. Jerry Reese has done a tremendous job on talent acquisition the last couple of years. By the way, the JPP pick in the first round last year that was panned by ignorant Giants fans that I thought was a pretty good one. Pierre Paul's having a pretty good preseason here.
Yeah, he's made OCU Manure expendable.
He has, yeah, which has been pretty interesting there. Cowboys, that's a hipster pick to me.
Oh, it was. Give me my thick-rimmed glasses. That's my sixth playoff team.
They have flashy star talent on both sides of the ball. I just see a lot of holes along the lines. They just look like a team that's almost like a parody of a playoff team pick. They have star OMG star power at running
that.
Back
you know,
and wide receiver.
Give me that
and
star power.
Yeah,
it's a Dave Meltzer team.
They're flashy. Exactly.
No,
you know what Dallas is? Dallas is the luchador with nothing but high spots in his act.
That's
Dallas.
Well, look, this team
no psychology.
Okay. First of all, I think we agree on two things in the NFC East, it sounds like. One, Philadelphia's going to win.
Yeah.
I think they'll be very good. I think they'll be 12-4.
Okay.
Okay, there's certainly a look, I know that they're overhyped and dream team and the Miami Heat of the NFL or whatever you want to call those.
Yeah.
These lengthy, they're a good team. They're a championship contender.
They are.
Okay, although it did bother me how Vic was kind of regressing down the stretch last year. Teams seem to have caught on a little bit.
And he's not durable.
He's not.
And he does.
He is a good friend of mine, though. I root for Mike Vick.
If you wonder about the caliber of his offensive line, all you need to know is that the Cleveland effing Browns were dragging him to the ground left and right in the preseason.
They were.
About Michael Vick's health, Eagle fans.
So we agree on that. And I think we both agree that Washington is terrible. And
the drags.
Last.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they named Grossman as a starter.
I got Sexy Rexy as a backup in one of my leagues here. My 16-team keeper league, so don't judge me.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't support the other guy. I figured you'd love a Beck in Washington.
Wrong one.
I've waited about 30 minutes to bust that one. Yes, I was like, when are we going to the NFC East so I can use my Glenn Beck joke?
You've been waiting for that. Well, the bottom line is that you've been saying Green Bay and the Jets for the Super Bowl,
yeah,
right?
And it's the only disagreement we have with Dallas and the Giants, just to hit on these last two teams. They will be the teams that battle for the last spot. But here's, the Giants are interesting. Did you know they have not had a losing year since 2004? They've won at least 8 games every year since 2004.
Wow, that is interesting.
Yet they only have 1 year with a playoff win, the year they won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
They're just, to me, it's just like, we talked about it off air. Camp Coughlin hit the road. You know, like, to me, I just think they're going to tune that act out. Eli Manning, these men's men type announcers here on TV, these Mike Golicks and these Mark Schlereths. they always wanted to make fun of Plaxico Burress.
All the four-letter folks.
Yeah, okay, for what he did, Plaxico Burress, okay?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You know who's upset? You know who's the most upset person in the world?
Who?
About what Plaxico Burress did besides Plaxico Burress? Eli Manning. Guy stunk ever since Plaxico Burress went away. Stinks.
He had a lot of interceptions last year.
Yeah, you could say that. I think he had like about 18 every game.
Okay, but he was finally getting the vertical game going a little bit.
I like
Hakeem
Nicks, by the way, who I drafted in my
Nicks, yes. And Manningham went to the right school for a guy like you. Yeah. So they got a nice receiver core. They're rounding back into form.
It just seems to me like they're gonna have some change. Dallas last year. I've talked about this with Minnesota, and I talked about this with somebody else who was a worst case scenario. San Diego was a worst case scenario last year, where I just don't think they could possibly be worse than they were the previous year. Dallas cannot be worse than they were last year. Look at how they performed for Jason Garrett after the change.
Yeah.
All their losses were by field goal or less. They went 5-3 in those 8 games. Wade Phillips was obviously a bad fit as the head coach, like we talked about. Romo was lost for the year in game 5.
Right.
They had a really hard schedule at the beginning. They got off to a bad start. I like Tony Romo. I like the pieces on this team. I got Dallas 10-6, last playoff spot.
By the way, as far as it goes with the Eastern Seaboard Programming Network, I'm just waiting for, on the Bermanisms here, when are we going to finally hear Tony No Romo as the Bermanism there for when the Cowboys games are getting called?
Don't be this. Oh, you know what?
What?
You know, these hipsters, oh, Jimmy Page stole that music. Oh, yeah. ESPN's biased towards the East Coast teams. Yeah. Yeah, they are.
They are.
Well, what do you want from me? when you've got how many ever million people live in the city of New York, why don't you talk to your buddy over here? I'm sure he doesn't mind. There's a lot more people that live in New York, and there's a lot more people in New York that watch. Nobody wants to hear about the Browns.
It's an
uninteresting team.
I guess I'm just.
I want to hear about Tony Romo's wedding, not Colt McCoy's passer rating.
I'm just doing some all-purpose ESPN and Berman bashing here.
Well,
you know
what's funny?
What?
Chris Berman, tell me where this is. If this falls in any sort of hipster. He obviously is certainly not where he once was.
No.
Okay. But because ESPN now has an assembly line for that role, the guy who hosts the studio show, is Chris Berman kind of somehow by default sort of interesting, he's not cool, but okay to listen to because he's different. I actually think Trey Wingo deserves his spot.
He does.
Okay,
he does.
He's funnier. His jokes are not from the 1970s.
You're getting into hipsterism with Berman, though. He's been lame for so long. He's cool again. Come on.
At the draft, I'll be honest.
Put the horn rim glasses on, pal.
Okay. He's usually terrible at the draft because it moves real fast and he's old and he can't keep up. Last April, I remember laughing again. He was just because, it just seemed like he kind of almost didn't care. And, he wasn't taking it as, the draft has kind of, become this, incredible, let's take it so seriously. And I don't know, anytime someone picks up a phone and says, I wonder if he's calling for a pizza or something, that joke makes me laugh,
I knew that his reputation for irreverence was completely undeserved back in the day when he refused to break out the Bermanism Hartley, I like dykes. As soon as he wouldn't go there, I'm like, okay, this guy's just another bought and paid for corporate puppet. Yes. There you go. afraid to engage in any bad taste, unlike us.
Clearly, would Rachel Nichols look good in leather?
That's a very interesting. I'm not quite the Rachel Markles, Rachel Nichols mark that a lot of people are, but that would be very intriguing.
You're with me, leather. Is
that yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah,
that went completely over my head.
Did. I was like, that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I would have sold for you. Yeah.
I was like, oh man, I don't think you got that one.
Yeah. I was thinking, I did not get that one. That went right over my head. That was what I was flashing to was the Ravishing Rick Rude line about Francine, something like, love to see that crapper in the tight black wrapper, whatever it was that he had when she was wearing the leather pants the one night. Rest in peace, Ravishing Rick Rude. That was a great line.
Yes,
that was
sure.
Truly outstanding. Yeah, you're saying Green Bay over the Jets. I'm saying Green Bay over the Patriots in the Super Bowl, so we're both going the same way.